we had an independent contractor actually leave us when she found out she would have to wait a month for her. I got in contact with her saying, hey, we actually changed everything. Would you be willing to come back to us? She said, yes, of course I would. Essentially, you're treating me like a human now. And so she came back to work with us.
But I am the world's biggest super fan.
You're like a super fan.
Welcome to the Business Superfans Podcast. We will discuss how establishing business superfans from customers, employees, and business partners can elevate your success exponentially. Learn why these advocates are a key factor to achieving excellence in the world of commerce. We discuss the invaluable insights of business owners who have successfully implemented the strategies in the book to build their own team of devoted superfans. Gain insightful knowledge from the experts who create applications that help you create passionate superfans. This is the Business Superfans Podcast. With your host, Freddie D.
Freddie!
Have you encountered language barriers with non-English speaking clients? Are language communication challenges hindering your business opportunities? For top-notch language services, choose A Foreign Language Service. They facilitate communications in over 400 languages, enhancing your offerings and driving success. As Arizona's premier language provider for over 30 years, they offer elite interpreting and translation services, including American Sign Language, nationwide. With a focus on excellence, they provide 24/7 telephonic and video interpreting with a live interpreter in under 60 seconds. Request telephonic, video, or in-person interpreting. They also offer translation for documents, courseware, software, and websites, as well as audio, transcription, and voiceovers. Trust in their expertise for effective language communication solutions for your business needs. Get in touch today at 844-813-4242 or explore their services at 400-400-languages.com. Tyler Stillman is a dedicated professional with a background in accounting and consulting. Starting his career in high school under the guidance of an inspiring teacher, he excelled in future business leadership and went on to pursue a bachelor's degree in accounting from ASU. Tyler's journey led him to a company specializing in communications, where he encountered challenges with contractor relations. Through his initiative and leadership, Tyler transformed the company's approach to contractor management, prioritizing fair treatment and timely payments. His strategic changes not only improved contractor satisfaction, but also contributed to a positive impact on the company's bottom line. Tyler's focus on building strong relationships with contractors and customers alike has been key to his success in turning around businesses and positioning them for growth.
Good morning, Tyler Stillman. Welcome to the Business Superfans Podcast. How are you today?
Hey, I'm doing fine. How about you?
I'm doing excellent. Tell us a little bit about yourself, how you got started into accounting and moved into accounting consulting.
Yes. So, as I'm an accountant and an accounting consultant, basically I started all the way back in high school where I had an amazing teacher. His name was Mr. Giddings, really wrought out myself and really helped me start my career. So basically along with that in high school, I was a part of Future Business Leaders of America.
Really? Wow.
And I ended up going to the national competition for FBLA.
Wow. That's amazing.
Needless to say, I had huge aspirations after that. So I went and got my bachelor's of science in accounting from ASU. And pretty much almost immediately after I got my degree, I got hired by a company that uses specialized contractors in communications.
Really? So tell us about that.
It was very rough, to say the least. When I got in there, there was a lot of weird stuff with the books. Just, it was off.
Okay.
And I noticed that these contractors weren't the happiest with the company.
Really? So let's talk about that. Because as independent contractors are also the face of a business, and if they're not happy, they're not really promoting the business. And in fact, it's the opposite. They're probably talking neutral at best of that particular business. So let's talk about, what did you do to get that turned around at that company?
Yes. So in terms of the contractors, what I didn't really start initiating until around a year in to start treating them better, because the owners were very steadfast in their approach and I was completely brand new to the accounting world. But then I started growing a backbone and I created a document to at least put into writing how we should treat our contractors.
I think that's important. I don't think that having that organized and put into a process, a systemized process, is very important, because otherwise you're just winging it, and winging it doesn't work in the long time, in the long game, I should say.
Right. Also, word gets around, because these are very specialized contractors, word gets around in their community that you aren't doing good by them. So one of the very first things that I needed to realize to make their lives better is to give them a little lead.
Okay.
Basically, if something is out of everyone's control, the way that the company used to do it is that the contractor would take the hit.
That's a short view of the business, because you're not creating super fans out of those contractors. More importantly, you've got the mindset that you're doing them a favor versus them helping build your business.
Exactly. And when I realized that, I realized we need to give these contractors a little grace.
That's huge, because these people are going, one, they're contributing to the business, because if you didn't have these particular contractors providing the services that they provide because of their uniqueness, that business is out of business.
Exactly.
So the contractors is really the front of the business and is the business. So they should be number one in the business's eyes, as we got to take care of our team, because no team, no business, especially in that type of a business, which is language communications.
Yes. Very much beforehand, it was always company first, contractors second. The viewpoint was we would always try to pay ourselves before we paid them. And I realized half a year to a year after I created the documents that things needed to change even more. They needed, because the documents were a step in the right direction, but then we needed to actually make even more changes.
And what were some of those changes? What were the outcomes of implementing those changes?
One of the very first things that we did was we started to pay the interpreters more.
Okay.
It originally started out in a weird way where we would pay them a month after the assignment, essentially.
Okay.
So essentially, you do the first 2 weeks of the month, you'll get paid in the first week of the next month, that kind of thing. And while people enjoyed getting paid more, but there were still contractors that we didn't use often that were still waiting a month to get paid.
That's a long time when, you know, especially independent contractors, a few hundred dollars in today's economy is really important.
Absolutely.
So how did you start converting these guys into super fans of you and the services that you were providing to those contractors, and in turn, changing the bottom line for that company?
I became much more involved and talked to the interpreters myself. I subsequently also started to do some tech stuff to actually get in the field with interpreters. One of the very last things that I did for the company before I left was I went to a interpretation function and actually got to see interpretation being done live.
Okay. So you started building relationships with those contractors that started to build trust in you in being able to take care of them. And so in turn, they became super fans of not necessarily the company, but of you, because you had their back.
Yes. And I always made sure to let the
independent contractors
know, I know that things were done differently in the past, but I am stopping the bad stuff now going forward. I have your back. I'm doing my best for you.
That made a big transformation into how the contractors related to you and started transforming the image the contractors had about the company. Because now the company was more pro-contractors and making, and had the mind, and the mindset was changing that this is our front line. We need to take care of the front line versus be grateful we're giving you a job.
Exactly. And very much that improved our bottom line because we had more people willing to do work and we had more people that wanted to do work with us.
That's huge right there. That's monster because, again, they're independent contractors, so they don't have to work for that particular company because they can sell their services to anybody else. But if you start treating them like you did with respect and appreciation, if they get two calls and this is company A and this is your company, they're going to say, you know what? Tyler takes care of me. He's got my back. I'm going to do Tyler. I'm going to go for the project that his company's requesting.
Yes. And one thing I actually did realize after we made the change in pay is we needed to be better. We needed to break the mold of the type of business we was in. I decided, you know what? These contractors need to be paid every 2 weeks. And that affected our bottom line for a little bit. Because when I decided that we needed to make this change, I made it pretty much immediately with the approval of my manager, of course.
Sure. And how was that received by these independent contractors?
We had an independent contractor actually leave us when she found out she would have to wait a month for her. I got in contact with her saying, hey, we actually changed everything. Would you be willing to come back to us? She said, yes, of course I would. Essentially, you're treating me like a human now. And so she came back to work with us.
That's important. So kudos to you for bringing back an independent contractor back to that company. It's right, because employees were paid biweekly, but you had these independent contractors that are dependent upon being paid timely because, again, they're not getting a salary. They're getting hourly wage, but for assignment, it's paramount that they get paid timely.
Exactly. And of course, along with that, I made a few minor changes, like just changing everyone to be paid at a minimum of 2 hours, even if their previous stuff was an hour minimum for on-site stuff. And everyone started getting happier with the company.
You started changing the culture of the independent contractor in the sense that you were turning them into super fans for the company because now the company was in turn respecting them and showing appreciation and gratitude by, at a minimum, paying them timely on a regular basis and creating a regularness for the payments.
Absolutely.
So how did that affect the bottom line of the company? Let's talk about that. Those payments to those independent contractors affect the bottom line. Compared to when you started working with that company, where was the bottom line at?
When I started working at the company, the bottom line was through the floor. We had really bad years the prior like 3 years.
Negative income, not yes. Positive income.
Yes.
Okay.
When we started making these changes with our workforce, our contractors, one of the very first noticeable changes was one, we were getting more assignments done. So more assignments meant more money. And more money meant more profit. And more profit means went straight up.
So let me rephrase that in a sense that because now that you started paying the contractors on a regular basis, the contractors were more willing to do assignments versus saying, oh, no, I'm not available or whatever the excuses that they had. Saying, right. Yeah, I'm willing to do this. And the company was able to fulfill more assignments, which in turn started to affect the bottom line from a negative net income to, in the time that you were there, to becoming a positive net income.
Absolutely.
Okay. Now, what are the other things that you did that you found in the books that also affected the income because of the fact that things were not properly categorized.
Yes. So stuff wasn't properly categorized. Stuff wasn't properly done in the proper months. So basically, we were working on information that was false. During 2022, 2023, I made a decision to go through the books and change as much as I could to be more accurate to the proper timelines.
So by doing that, that also revealed what the company was really doing in revenue. In some cases, it was negative, but overall, once it got fixed, the efforts that you put in to fix the books, that's when all of a sudden you could tell and track the income starting to go up because of the fact of the things that you put into place, the relationships you were building with the contractors, and more importantly, having accurate data. And so how important is accurate data in tracking that?
Oh, goodness. Accurate data is very important. Essentially, you want the books to tell a story. And when I got in there, the books were a choose-your-own-adventure book backwards.
Okay.
Essentially. And basically, I went in and edited the books.
Okay. So talk about that. So what were some of the things that you did as an accounting consultant? What are some of the things that you found? You don't have to get into all the details, but what were some of the things that you found that were miscategorized that a small business may do because they don't know any better, and that in turn affects their bottom line, their financial statements, and everything else? And what is it that you would do or recommend a small business to do to make sure that their financials are properly classified?
I would review mostly invoices and bill. One of the main sticking points that I found when doing my review process was this bill. It was dated, say, February 15th for something that was done back in January. Basically, a simple way to fix that so that it could be categorized properly is to change the date of the invoice to be in January while also keeping the original due date for the invoice.
So, Tyler, tell us how a small or entrepreneur-type business can make sure that their books are correct because and provide a clear picture of where their business is at.
When I was fixing the books for this company, one of the major things that I found was that 80 to 90% of the problem were in invoices and billing, mostly with having to do with dates.
So help us understand dates. I don't get it. What's so important about dates?
So when, especially in accrual basis, which is how you track how your business is doing, one of the major things is if you accrue your income in January, but your, say, accounting software recognizes the income being done in February, that's not being accurate to when you realistically got the revenue. One of the things that you can do is backdate an invoice.
Okay. And talk more about that. And how does that impact the books?
Basically, let's say that you have a $1,000 invoice that you originally recognized in February.
Okay.
Or income that was generated in January. By backdating the invoice, what you accomplish is you recognize that income in January rather than February. What that does is helps with the accuracy of your business. It helps you recognize this is when I gained this revenue. This is when I gained this bill. This is when I gained everything all in the same month.
So in turn, properly invoicing and making sure that the dates match when the service was provided, the books are going to present a much more accurate picture of where the business is at, where it's going, and that can have a profound impact for the business, knowing that the data is accurate. And then it gives them an idea of, okay, I'm doing really good, or wow, I need to make some changes because I'm going in the wrong direction.
Absolutely.
Let's discuss other things that you did to turn that company from a negative income to a positive net income.
Another thing that I did was get to know our customers. At the very least, their accounting departments. One of the major things that the company wasn't doing correctly was collections.
Did they have any invoices that were beyond 30, 60 days?
They had many invoices.
So how far, what was the furthest one that was out there?
I think that there was, when I joined, one from 2020.
Wow, so you're talking several years.
Yes.
How'd you rectify that?
Unfortunately, the reality of the situation is, if it is 90 days or over, you're most likely not getting that money. It is entirely possible that you can, but a lot changes in a year to begin with, not to mention 3 years. You need to thoroughly examine your AR aging and determine what's collectible, what's not. And then you just need to write it off. Because if a lot of stuff over 90 days is uncollectible, not to mention stuff over 3 years old. You don't want to carry that weight.
So from a tax basis, it probably would be better off to just write off the stuff that it's okay. Anything beyond, let's just say, 6 months, and there's no chance of getting collections after you've reached out to the company, sent letters and everything else, you're probably better off from a tax perspective to write that as bad debt.
Absolutely.
So that in turn makes your books look better.
Yeah, absolutely.
Not immediately, but over time, it clears them up, I would think.
Yeah. The main issue is, essentially, you have a blemish and you're not getting rid. Get rid of the blemishes.
So what would be a cutoff time for a small business to say, okay, this isn't going to go on? Would you say 6 months is a fair number?
Yeah, absolutely. Of course, it is on a case-by-case basis, because you can have some customers that are contractually obligated, that are still paying different stuff. They can pay this one. It's just that they haven't gone through their processes properly. So it depends, but 6 months is a good cutoff.
Okay. Now let's go back to creating super fans from customers. How does accounting play into that role?
Like I said, with contractors, need to be willing to extend a little grace to your customers as well. Everyone you are dealing with is human and they make mistakes. Okay. You need to be willing to let late fees go away, and you need to be willing to let bygones be bygones. What that in turn does is it shows that your company is willing to work with the customer.
All right. That's the important statement right there. Because customers can have things come up unexpectedly, issues that they've got, and they get sidetracked. And the fact that you're willing to work with them because you understand they're a business and you have, as a business, have things that come up. So the fact that you're willing to work with them creates a partnership, which in turn leads them to start becoming a brand advocate, or as I call them, business superfans. These guys are okay. They're willing to work with us while we're going through this challenge. They start telling other businesses that this is a great company and you should deal with this company. And that's how you start getting word of mouth going.
Yes. Basically, every single department needs to work together to give the customer the best experience. That includes the accounting department.
It's the same thing with the contractors. If the contractor's being well taken care of and they're being paid timely, as we talked earlier, they start telling other contractors within that industry that, hey, this is a great company. They really take care of us. And so that company starts attracting more contractors willing to provide their services for that particular company.
On that same thought, I do remember hearing a story of how we use specialized contractors, but even within those specialized contractors, there is a more like specialized version of those contracts. And the more specialized contractors, we treated the exact same way originally. When those changes were made, one of the big things I remember hearing is, hey, you guys were originally in bad faith with these specialized contractors, but I've been advocating to let everyone know that you have changed. There is new management and we are being treated properly now.
And that's huge, because that in turn is a super fan that's starting to get everybody else to change the mindset and their thoughts about that particular company. And so they start looking at being more open to dealing with that company. It's same thing with a contractor going to do a particular project and they're happy with the company. So they're becoming a super fan saying, oh, yes, I'm with this company. It's a great company. It provided great service and I'm excited. So now they're promoting the company. So you've got the independent contractors becoming your sales force because they're out there telling the client that they're dealing with, oh, yeah, I love the company, great company. And so now the client feels even better that they picked the right company to provide them the service, and it starts a snowball. And that's what, as you alluded to, is that changed the net income from a negative income to a much more positive income, which in turn changed the whole dynamics of the business.
Yes, absolutely.
So Tyler, we talked about how you changed the contractors' pay to in turn create them into super fans, which got them to be willing to do more projects for the company. More importantly, talk positively to customers, which then reinforced customers that they made the right decisions to request that company's services. And you've also talked about building relationship with existing customers to turn them into super fans in the sense that you're willing to work with them through their challenges and being flexible. So how did this impact the overall bottom line for the company, and where did that lead to?
So we ended up positioning the company in 2023 with a positive net income for the first time in 3 years, which ended up positioning the company for sale. In 2024, the company was bought. And subsequently, my job was done. We met our goals. And so I have gone on to a new venture with a new company to help them.
So that's a pretty powerful statement there, that you basically, in a 3-year period, you turned around a company with negative income into having positive income, which in turn positioned it to be bought by another company. That's doesn't happen every day. So that's a great accomplishment on your part of being able to take a mess, in a sense, from what you described, and turning it into something that was attractive to somebody else to acquire.
What can I say? I used to work as a janitor at a grocery store. I'm used to turning messes into attractiveness.
That's a great way to end the show, man. Tyler, pleasure having you on the Business Superfan podcast. Great advice to businesses. So to sum it up, basically, A, making sure that your invoices are properly invoiced on the dates, paying attention. Same thing with billing, making sure that you're billing timely. More importantly, making sure that if you got contractors, you take care of them as part of your team because they are your team, as well as your customers, because no customers, no business, no team, no business. Tyler, thank you very much for being on the show, and we'll look forward to having you on another episode down the road.
Hey, thank you for having me on.
Thanks for tuning in to today's Business Superfans podcast. If you found value in our dive into creating superfans for lasting success, show some love. Hit like and subscribe for future episodes and share with your network to spread the insights. We'd appreciate if you would write us a review, as it helps our show. Your support is everything and fuels more content to boost your business. Till next time, keep rocking, superfans, superstars.
We hope you took away some useful knowledge from today's episode of the Business Superfans podcast. The path to success relies on taking action. So go over to businesssuperfans.com and get your hands on the book if you haven't already. Join the accelerator community and take that first step in generating a team of passionate supporters for your business. Join us on the next episode as we continue guiding you on your journey to achieve flourishing success in business.